Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. I'm Sam Bowman, and this is Totality of Circumstances, a biweekly show about policing in Portland and beyond from a community perspective. This week, we're going to hear from a movement for police accountability and oversight in a county of Wyoming. Before that, though, there is some local news to cover, and I should let our listeners know up front that this week's show touches on several stories of lethal police violence against people of color and people experiencing mental illness.
And your course is, of course, keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Well, the one thing we did right was the day we started to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. But the one thing we did wrong, we stayed out in the wilderness a little too long. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
That's Marilyn Keller, renowned Portland jazz and gospel singer, singing this weekend at an event called Stop the Violence, held at Northeast Portland's Maranatha Church on Saturday. The event spotlighted several local movements opposing war, gun violence, and the persecution of immigrants and refugees. The main focus, however, was on the continuing struggle to hold the Portland police accountable for death, lethal force, and injustice. The event commemorates the fatal shooting of Aaron Campbell by a Portland police officer 10 years ago, on January 29, 2010. The exact anniversary is tomorrow. Campbell was distraught, having experienced the death of his brother earlier in the day. As the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, or AMA, described, officers had already used a beanbag gun and a police dog on Campbell. When he lowered his hands following the beanbag shot, another officer opened fire and shot Campbell in the back. Police initially said that he was armed. That's a falsehood that has persisted in some official records of the shooting. The officer who shot Campbell, Ron Frashauer, was eventually fired, but then reinstated with back pay in 2016 after a lengthy and painful arbitration brought by the police union. While that was going on, the U.S. Department of Justice responded to calls by the AMA and several other community groups to investigate the Portland police, as Reverend Haynes here describes.
Once again, the AMA coalition took upon this particular case and others and began to march on City Hall. It was out of this case that sprung, along with the James Chassie case, of a homeless white male that was beaten to death by the Portland Police Bureau, that set the foundation for us, called the Department of Justice. You had a real Department of Justice then under the Obama administration. It came into our community and investigated and found out that the Portland Police Bureau used unnecessary lethal force and weapons. This case, Aaron Campbell case, before Mike Brown, Aaron Campbell case, before the many other cases in Chicago, Aaron Campbell case, before the cases in Cleveland and Ohio, the Aaron Campbell case rippled through our community.
The DOJ's finding that the Portland police use excessive force against people with mental illness led to a settlement agreement in 2014, which set numerous benchmarks for the city to reach to be in compliance. Earlier this month, the independent consultant tasked with assessing the city's compliance released a report declaring that the city had reached, quote, substantial compliance with the terms of the settlement. The city attorney characterized this ruling in positive terms, saying in a press conference, quote, it could be you're 99.5% compliant with something, but in some ways there's some very minor technical noncompliance, unquote. Many community activists saw the announcement in a much less positive light. On OPB, Portland Copwatch's Dan Handelman said the city's compliance was with the letter of the settlement, not the spirit of rebuilding trust with the community, and, most importantly, reducing the violence against Portlanders experiencing a mental health crisis. Just last year, the Portland police fatally shot more people in crisis than it had since 2010, when Campbell was killed. Just yesterday, a Multnomah County grand jury returned a not-true bill in the December shooting death of 51-year-old Coben Henriksen on Southeast 82nd Avenue. Officer Justin Raphael shot Henriksen, who was wearing a blanket and allegedly brandishing a knife at passing cars. Raphael shot him within moments of arriving on the scene. The grand jury ruling essentially means that Raphael is found justified in using lethal force and will not be prosecuted. Cases like these, including Campbell's, often wind up being litigated in civil court, with the city eventually settling with the families and never disciplining officers in any meaningful way. Campbell's mother, Marva Davis, traveled back to Portland to speak at Saturday's event.
As a community, we need to come together. And yes, we need to keep saying, hey, we're not putting up with this, but we need to do more. Yes. Even if it costs us losing our lives, we need to take a stand for something. So we're not going to put up with this. Now, if we did some of the things to them, there would be a problem. They'd take us to prison, right? So we need to come together, and we need to say, hey, let's get in the pocketbooks of these people. Let's stop doing things. Let's all come together as a community and say, okay, let's develop a place where we have a store, where we just go to that one store. Or, you know, something that will get their attention and the country's attention, saying, you know what? We really gotta do something about this. We had the Department of Justice come here and dealing with Aaron and saying, hey, you violated his rights. Oh no, that wasn't their intention. Yes, it was.
Davis has written a book called Two Sons Set in a Day to set the record straight about Aaron Campbell and tell the story of her two sons' lives before January 29th, 2010.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
The struggle for police oversight and accountability often plays out in the news in urban landscapes and can seem like an urban issue. But this focus can obscure rural movements not only across Oregon but across the country that seek a greater role for citizens in how they and their neighbors are policed. One such movement has taken shape over the last year or so in Albany County, Wyoming, whose county seat is the small city of Laramie, home of the University of Wyoming. I spoke with Carly Prevenza, an organizer with the Albany County Organization for Proper Policing, or ACOP, for more.
I am a doctoral student at the University of Wyoming. I'll be finishing my doctorate degree in psychology and law this summer, probably. And I do research, academic research, on juror decision-making of cases that involve police as, like, defendants or eyewitnesses. In November of 2018, we had a police shooting that happened here. And some of the information around that that first came out was pretty concerning to folks. The victim who was killed his name was Robbie Ramirez. He was a 39-year-old man who struggled with mental illness, and we knew at the time that he was unarmed. We then found out that the officer who killed Robbie Ramirez was Derek Calling, who worked for the Albany County Sheriff's Office, or works for the Albany County Sheriff's Office, and he had been involved in two fatal shootings prior to Robbie Ramirez. So Robbie was his third victim, and he was also fired from Las Vegas in 2011, I believe, for beating a man who was filming police. So what ended up transpiring after that was, you know, very shortly after my boyfriend at the time and I sent out an email inviting people to our home if they wanted to talk about, like, what we should do about this, you know, make sure that there was transparency and accountability around the killing of Robbie Ramirez. And we had 24 people show up to our house, and we ate deer chili and talked about what was happening next. And that was when we formed what is now known as Albany County for Proper Policing.
Can you tell me a little bit about the makeup of ACOP? You mentioned 24 people showed up to the initial meeting. Has it grown since then?
So that group became what was known as kind of like ACOP members, like the core group. But now we're kind of a smaller knit group with a larger following. ACOP consists of, right now we have like essentially a board of 8 or 9 people that involves Robbie's uncle. We work really closely with the family, and I'm the executive director. And then we also have just people like who before all of this were strangers. We have a former deputy coroner who's on our board, just different people throughout the community that don't really have kind of that same background that I do associated with looking into like police shootings and things of that nature.
Sounds like ACOP has been in existence through the whole like grand jury process and everything. What stood out to you about that process?
Well, yeah, so ACOP formed 4 days, I think, after Robbie died. He died on a Sunday. By Wednesday, we were making plans. I guess what stood out to me as like an academic, as someone who's looked at these types of incidents a lot, is that the officer and the victim knew each other. I don't think that that's something that happens frequently. I don't know of any other incident in that the officer and the victim knew each other. They went to high school together. They sang choir together. They were on the same baseball team, I think. So at one point in time in their lives, they knew each other fairly well. In terms of the grand jury, I mean, it felt like a violation of public trust. There was no transparency. At the time, the county attorney really talked a lot about how no one in Wyoming had done a grand jury and no one knows how to handle these cases of police shootings. And I had been kind of adamant about no grand jury, because what I see in my research is a third of people in samples looking at excessive force. So I've tested like what happens if the victim is shot in the back by an officer. Well, about a third of your sample will let that officer go in a grand jury, even if the prosecutor, you know, provides damning evidence. So there's some issue involved in how grand juries operate. And I think the biggest one is the lack of transparency. We don't know what happened there. We know that Colling wasn't indicted, but the public didn't get to see any evidence. They didn't get to have answers that they were owed, because this is our community and our community member died.
I had read Albany County Attorney Peggy Trent had herself been somewhat skeptical of the grand jury process.
I don't know if she was skeptical. I don't want to speak for County Attorney Trent.
Fair enough.
I mean, we came out and we said that she needed to recuse herself, and she did not.
Why did you want her to recuse herself?
Here we see that, and I think it's true of anywhere across the country, for the most part, prosecutors work very closely with law enforcement. That relationship is very tight-knit. I mean, law enforcement brings them cases that they prosecute. They work with law enforcement as witnesses. They work with them to be able to get convictions. If, as a prosecutor, if you make the decision to go after an officer, then you might have internal problems with that law enforcement agency. Maybe they're not going to bring you evidence, or maybe they're not going to cooperate as much. Or it's just personally like difficult situation. And then if you decide not to go after law enforcement, then you have that issue as well. So I think that they're too tight knit. I think they work too closely together. And specifically in this case here, you have the county attorney who represents the sheriff's office in civil matters. So typically she would represent them if, say, someone sues the sheriff's office. How then does she get to determine whether we should charge an officer of either misconduct or manslaughter or murder? We argued that it was too close, and that a special prosecutor should come in.
The Wyoming Division of Criminal Investigation, or DCI, tends to investigate all of the officer-involved shootings that happen in the state, and it seems like that's a bit of a de facto arrangement. Are there efforts underway in Wyoming to create any sort of uniform procedure following these incidents?
I know that there's a few state legislators who are now interested in trying to figure out what that process would look like. I don't know if that'll be something that happens this legislative session, which starts in February, or perhaps next year. But what ACOP is pushing for is civilian oversight of law enforcement. We'd like to see a board put in the place in every county, and potentially also statewide. There's no like civilian oversight or accountability that really exists in Wyoming to be able to know if these investigations are done properly or not.
ACOP has formed kind of within the last year and change. Do you know of any other groups in the state that are doing similar work?
I believe there's a group that's kind of, there were some people who were organizing in Cheyenne that were kind of piggybacking off of things that we were doing, because we've been so primarily focused on Albany County for the most part. And Cheyenne is one county over in Laramie County. I don't know if that group, you know, kind of got off the ground. There's another group, I believe, called the Riverton Peace Mission that has just started. My understanding is they're not focused on really police reforms at this point, but I honestly don't know. The problem that we keep out, that I think exists in terms of activists getting involved in police reform work, is it's hard to get people motivated to do that unless someone has died. And Wyoming being such a low, like, populous state, even though we have more police shootings per, like, capita than other states, we still just have few people, so there's not a ton of, like, organizing that goes around that. And I think the other problem, too, is that leadership, I mean, we've been met with nothing but, like, doors slammed in our face here in Albany County. I was in a public meeting at a county commission meeting, and this was after the previous meeting. We had organized dozens of people who came and filled the courthouse to ask county commissioners to help us do something about Derek Calling. And the next meeting, you know, we had heard that they were looking into doing an ad hoc committee, and I stood up and thanked them for looking into solutions, but that I urged them to put civilians on that board, that, like, community members need to be involved, not just law enforcement. And we were met with screaming, cursing. One county commissioner started crying. I mean,
in the ideal world, we can all sit here and say, okay, cops should do this and cops should do that. And I don't know what a cop should do in very limited, you know, split seconds, or how much training, you know, carries through to instinct, or how much time you have to think, or what happens if you make the wrong decision. I don't know any of that stuff. You guys don't know. You don't know, and you need to calm it down. You need to knock this shit off and let us do the process that we need to do. And quit accusing people of being insensitive or not understanding the plight.
It was like I stood up and I don't know. It was so bizarre. I've never seen anything like it before.
And this was screaming from the county to you.
Like officials screaming at me. But that's the animosity we've been met with. We've had issues with the county attorney. I mean, she doesn't want us around.
And this is Peggy Trent, who we were talking about before?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you gotten any insight into like what the logic is behind this opposition, or is it mostly screaming?
What we call it is the good old boys club. We can only make sense of it being that like these people all work together and they're friends, and like, and of course they're not trying to do terrible things, or they don't endorse killing unarmed mentally ill men by shooting them in the back. I don't know. I don't know what the logic is. I think that there's not a culture of people kind of like standing up to things that they don't agree with here in Wyoming politics. And so I think that they just are not used to us. They don't know how to respond to us. And I don't know why it has to be an us versus them kind of thing, but that's what it's been turned into.
All right. And I heard that that ACOP has a petition out to revoke Deputy Colling's certification.
Yeah. So I think it's true of all states, officers have to be certified under some sort of like professional standard training. In Wyoming, we have the Wyoming Peace Officer Standards and Training Office, and they determine like how many hours of specific training an officer needs to have a certification to be a peace officer. And so we are petitioning people to essentially ask Post to decertify Derek Colling so that he can be terminated, because after he killed Robbie Ramirez, he was then put back to work. He went from a patrolman to a detective, which most people would say
wow.
Is a promotion. So what we're citing is that under Chapter 8, Rule 2F of the Peace Officer Standards and Training, Officer Colling violates the public's trust in law enforcement as a whole. And because of that, he needs to go. We have, I think, as of today, I can look real quick, but I think 1,200 signatures. We need more. So if anybody wants to go on to acop.org/petition, you can sign our petition as well. We are taking signatures from everywhere, but we're really trying to get as many people to show them that, like, yeah, the community isn't behind this. This isn't acceptable to us. Because our sheriff won't fire him, then we'll go over his head.
Great. I mean, 12,000 out of...
Did I say 12,000? God, sorry.
Oh, sorry, what did you say?
1,200.
Oh, okay. I mean, still, that's...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's substantial. It's not nothing. I do think that the community really like gets behind this, and it's baffling that public officials haven't.
Yeah, and you've mentioned a lot of the sort of the official kind of negative backlash. But have there been any like encouraging messages of support that you've received from the community?
I mean, the community has on Facebook and sending us emails saying like, keep it up. Like, I really appreciate that you're doing this. I mean, being in town, people approach me and thank me for the work that ACOP has been doing. And we do have one county commissioner who's really been in support of this. Pete Gosar, he's really supportive of ACOP and supportive of the idea of civilian oversight boards. And then we have one of our House representatives here, Charles Pilkey, has been supportive, and Representative Andy Clifford from another part of the state has also been supportive. So there are people who certainly support this. It seems like our issue's mainly been with county officials, which is, you know, who employs the sheriff. So that's been problematic.
If any of our listeners were hoping to find out more or get in contact with you, where would you send them to?
You can go to acopp.org. It's A-C-O-P-P. There's a form there. You can send us a message. You can sign up for alerts to get emails from us and find out what's going on here in Wyoming. And then you can also email me at info@acopp.org. And I'd love to hear from folks who are dealing with potentially similar issues. I think that, you know, something that hasn't really been talked about in terms of policy and with people on the ground is, you know, what happens with rural police reform? We talk a lot. I know you're in Portland. A lot of your listeners are living in a major city, much larger than I think any of ours. But we can't forget about rural America when we talk about police reform, when we talk about mass incarceration, when we talk about anything that has to do with criminal justice. And so I'm really hoping maybe someone would want to reach out and we can try and find some solutions here. There's people feel disconnected from us, or maybe they don't know where we are. I don't know. But I think that probably many places across the country that don't look like Portland or don't look like major metropolitan areas are also feeling that kind of like struggle.
Carly, thank you so much for talking with me today. Is there anything that you would like to add before we wrap up?
No, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for, I think it's really important that people are talking about this. And I hope that this can help connect us with the rest of the world.
Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
For KBOO Portland, I'm Sam Bowman. I've been speaking with Carly Prevenza with the Albany County Organization for Proper Policing out of Wyoming.
And thank you everybody for listening to Totality of Circumstances today, January 28th, 2020. We'll be back on the air in 2 weeks' time on the 11th of February. You can always get in touch with us in the meantime at totalityradio@gmail.com, lowercase, all one word. And you can hear this and other episodes and long versions of interviews at kboo.fm on our show page, Totality of Circumstances. Thank you, and have a wonderful night.
Was the day we started to fight to keep the